I think it was at the very beginning. It was in January, I believe. Anyway, what a year. What a year we have had in Elevate. I have been so extremely blessed to be a part of this ministry. I have seen, I've been part of, we've all been part of some seriously awesome things. And I believe that this family has sparked growth in this church. I believe that this family has sparked excitement in the church. And it's God. It's not us. It's God. But I just, man, it is so exciting. And I have just been so happy. Can I just say that? Happy to be a part of Elevate. Amen. And it, man, we just have fun. And Christina and I both got on the wrong line a while ago and nobody even said anything to us. You know what? Man, just, oh my goodness. New Testament Church. New Testament Church. A family of believers with a mission. Come on, somebody. So this is it. This is the last Elevate of 2019. And not only are we moving into a new year, we're moving into a new decade. What? I'm going to be married 10 years, January 16th. And I'm like looking around going, what is she thinking? You know? and it's just like, what is going on? And, I just think about how I feel like I've grown, and I know I have grown physically over the past 10 years, but I feel like I've grown. I feel like I've grown mentally as well, and maybe I've matured, but you know, it just depends on who you ask. I was interviewing with the executive leadership for the Louisiana District, and they said, well, how do you feel like you've matured over the past few years? And I said, I feel like I've matured, but just don't ask my wife. And it's a big deal. New Year's always make me a little nervous. Not just because my cousin Bo gets fireworks, but New Year's always makes me a little nervous because it's, we're stepping into a new thing. And I'm sorry, sometimes I just get a little apprehensive and I just think about, what's going to happen this year? And, there's always, you always have plans. You always kind of have a forecast of some things that you want to happen in the new year, but we're stepping into a new year. And so it made me think about the word next, because we say, next year is this week. And so I wanted to speak tonight about next and what is next. And I want to talk about the God of next. Have you ever in your life been ill-prepared? I have, and I want to tell a story about it, if that's okay. So I went to, anybody ride roller coasters? You used to? Until something happened? Okay. So I went to a little-known theme park in Texas called Six Flags. And some of you here were on this trip. It was a disaster. But, yeah, the ones that were there laughed, and then they went, ugh. So I went to Six Flags, and I was just kind of a dorky little, 13-year-old, desperately trying to get this one girl to, laugh at me and or with me, but I think she laughed at me. But anyway, so we went all the way over there, and we go to Six Flags, and I was friends with this young man. He was a wise young man. His name was Dustin Lewis. And Dustin and I grew up in Rainbows, just best buds. Well, Dustin had ridden roller coasters before, and I had never ridden roller coasters ever. The only roller coaster I had ever been on was at the carnival in Piggly Wiggly parking lot. That's, yeah, the one that makes it rain for like 2 weeks every time it comes. That one. That's the only roller coaster I had ever been on, and it's literally 20 feet long, and it goes in a circle, okay? So Dustin says, hey, man, we're going to go on an awesome ride. And I was like, okay. And so I just followed him, and he's like, dude, forget all these other rides, bro. I know the best one. And I was just like, you know, naive and following the guy. And I learned a lot of lessons. But so I just followed right along like a little puppy dog after Dustin because I think he had been there. And so we start walking and we, you know, we come up on one roller coaster and I was like, oh, that's it, man. This is going to be awesome. Yeah. We go right past it. And I was like, Dustin, we walked past the roller coaster. And so we kept going and we kept going and we kept going. And finally, we arrived at a horrible invention. Mankind has come a long way since the Stone Age. And we have invented horrible, horrible things along with good things. But one of the bad things that we have created as a species is called the Texas Giant. Some of you may know. And so Dustin walks up to it and he goes, oh yeah. And I went, oh no. And this thing's wooden. Who makes a roller coaster out of wood? And so we're walking up under the thing, and I can see the legs moving as the cars go by. And I'm like, whoa, whoa. And so we get up there, and we wait in line. And I'm just like, I don't know, peer pressure is a strong thing. So I go with him. And I, again, remember, I've never been on a roller coaster in my life, not an official big boy roller coaster. And this thing's literally called a giant. And so we get on the thing, and you always, like, the worst part of a roller coaster, if you're nervous, is when the lap thing snaps. Then you're like, like, this is it. And you kind of wonder how bad you'd have to freak out for them to stop the ride at that point. And so it clicks, and I was just like, I could feel all the blood, like, drain out of my head and go into my feet. And my bowels were doing horrible things, and I was so scared. I was not ready. Have you ever been not ready? Okay? I didn't know what to expect. And so we start going. And, you know, oh, I just remember this. It was so horrible. It traumatized me severely. And, man, so we start going up. And I saved a picture of this, but I forgot to give it to the AV team so we could put it up on the... But the big drop, the first big drop on the Texas Giant, you go all the way up this hill, and it's like, I mean, it's like serious. And there's a giant Wile E. Coyote. And it says, maybe we should talk about this, or maybe we should think about this. And I was like, what? And then we, whoo, oh my goodness. It was horrible. And we're just like, oh man, moving. And all of a sudden I realized I was holding hands with my best friend. And then I let go, but then I went right back in. And I said, Dustin! So we got off of that, and we didn't talk for a while. But I was not ready, man. I was so not ready. And I don't really care for roller coasters now. I know that's a surprise. But, man... I was absolutely not ready. Do you know that there's never a time when God is not ready? Nothing surprises him. God's never been talked onto a roller coaster by his best friend and freaked out. Okay? That's never happened to him. God is always ready. We may not be, but he is. There may be a time of preparation, and we preach frequently about times of preparation because times of preparation are really tough. Sometimes times of preparation are so hard that they become times of perspiration. Amen? Or oh me. Times of preparation are hard, and so we want to talk about them a lot because we want to have that togetherness. We want to understand each other. And sometimes there's a time of preparation for you and for me, but God's always ready. God doesn't have to train. God doesn't have to study for the test because he's God. God loves life. He created life. right? God loves growth. God loves success, blessing, and happiness. And he wants us to achieve these things. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants his people to be happy? Do you believe that God wants his people to be successful and blessed? I believe that. You know why? Because it's in the Bible. And so God wants us to have those things. He wants us to grow as people. There's not a lot of verses in the Bible where God says, hey, you're good. Just stay you. Just live, just be you. And he doesn't want someone to grow. There's a YouTube channel that I love to watch, and their hashtag is Seek Discomfort. And one thing about discomfort is when you're uncomfortable, you are probably learning something. Sometimes that's a really hard reality, but when you're uncomfortable, you're learning something. Maybe you've put yourself in a bad position, and the trial of that error has taught you a lesson. And sometimes we have to be uncomfortable in that time of preparation. When Moses was out in the desert for 40 stinking years, herding sheep for some dude named Jethro, he probably was uncomfortable from time to time, but that was a time of preparation. So we're moving on. New decade. Where were you in 2010? Think about it. What did you look like? You guys have seen the 10-year challenge? Some 10-year challenges are good. You know, some you're like, oh man, that's and she quit putting that perm in her hair. You know, and then some 10-year challenges are like, stay blessed, live your best life. Woo. We're moving forward. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, here it comes. New decade, new experiences, new expectations. So we're moving into our next. Here's the first thing. I want to make 3 points quickly before I run out of time. Don't worry, my watch doesn't work. The battery ran out. So I'm not going to know unless I look back there. God, number one, God knows your next. He knows it. You might not know it, but God knows it. When I got on the roller coaster, I knew it was probably going to be bad, but I didn't know it was going to be that bad, okay? Had I not known it, I would have laughed at Dustin and run off when he was looking the other direction. And I would have spent my entire day at Six Flags eating corn dogs and riding the boat. Not the big one, the one for the kids, okay? The big one goes too high. God knows you're next. And I found a really neat example as I was studying. And let me encourage you, study the word, man. Get in there and read it and just look at it and soak it in and pray. My favorite thing to do when I'm in the word is to pray before. Pray before and just be quiet and just listen to God and say, God, I want to learn something from your word today. And then pray, read that word, and then just be quiet again and let God speak to you. And that may not be your method, but that's what I like to do. And Brittany likes it as well because I said be quiet twice. I said that I be quiet twice. So a really neat example that I found of God and his knowledge. How many of you guys know that God is smart? God knows. In Psalm 147 says, praise be to God. He heals the brokenhearted. He bandages their wounds. And this is the important part. He counts the stars and he calls them all by name. How great is our Lord. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. Now, this is neat because I am an absolute nerd. And I love space. I love all things about space. It's so cool. And so when I read this, I said, whoa, God counts the stars. That's a big deal. Not only does he count them, he knows them all by name. I don't even call my kids by their right names sometimes, right? Like I'm like, Brittany, stop. And then I go, it's Piper Jonah, I'm sorry. My grandpa called me Bo my whole life. Like, is that my name? Okay? Bo. How many stars are there? Do you know? Anybody know how many stars? There's a bunch. I can't even read this word, this number. There are 21 zeros. It's a 1 and 21 zeros. So it's 10 billion to the 21st power. That's a lot of stars. That's just in our galaxy. That's not in the observable universe. In the observable universe, there's many, 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 many more. That's just in our galaxy, just in the Milky Way. So God knows each one by name. He created that star. It's his creation, and that star is doing exactly what God programmed it to do. That is awesome. Sometimes I just sit here and I think, wow, you made this. You made this, God. He knows them all by name. And here's, y'all, the Bible just does this. This blew my mind. So in Genesis 22 and 17, remember, we're talking about the knowledge of God. I just want to drive it home that God knows what he's talking about. In Genesis 22 and 17, it says, I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Now, we have a little thing called Google. And just out of curiosity, when I was learning about the stars, and I want to know how many, if God knows how many stars are up there, I want to know how many they are. And while I was reading that, do you know what was, there was a footnote. And it said that there are 10 billion, no, more than that. There are 10 to the 21st power of those stars, and I'm not going to try to use those mathematical terms because I'm not going to use them right. There's a bunch of stars, okay? If you take all the sand from all the beaches on our planet, do you know how many grains of sand there are? Same number. God said that. He said that. I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Blow my mind, God. Blow my mind. He knows. Come on, somebody. God knows. God knows. When you're facing something and you're worried about it, he knows. When you're afraid of something, he knows. When you need wisdom, he knows. Plug into that. Plug into that wisdom. Number two, God prepares you for your next. Think about Noah. As Noah was trying to be, Noah was kind of like a weatherman, right? He's walking around telling everybody it was going to rain, and they're like, we don't believe you, Noah. Like, you know, there's that one guy on KTBS that looks just like Al Gore. And sometimes I'm like, are you sure it's going to rain, bro? But Noah was like that. He's going around telling everybody it's going to rain. Nobody wants to believe him. And he's facing a lot of trial here. And so what does God do? Does God say, hey, Noah, you know, there's going to be this big rain. Go build a boat. You know, you're on your own. No, God provides. God prepares. And so instead of just waking Noah up with rain hitting Noah in the face while Noah's out there sleeping in his tent, God says, Noah, look, this is going to happen. And he prepares Noah for that situation. And Noah gets out there, he builds the boat, and we know the rest of the story. Preparation can be long, it can be hard, but I promise you it's worth it. I promise you when you make it through, when you make it across the finish line and you arrive at your next, that preparation is worth it. It's absolutely worth it. And remember, when you are fighting a fight that is taking the life out of you, when you are facing something that is absolutely destroying you, remember that God prepares you for your next. And so I want you to do this, because this is what I've had to do. As I have faced things, especially this year, as I have faced things that have just really put me on the ropes, I've had to stop and I've had to say, God, I know that you're doing something here. I know that you are preparing me for my next. And when you understand that, it helps a lot. Because you're not just fighting a battle in vain. You're not just getting beat down for nothing. There is a purpose. There is a plan. You are being prepared for your next. God prepares us for our next. He wants you to be ready for your next, okay? Number three. God provides for our next. I'm going to hurry up and close. God provides for our next. God's not going to put you somewhere, prepare you for something, and then once you arrive in that next, whatever it is, just abandon you. That's not the way that God works. This is part of his plan. And so he's going to provide. And there are so many examples in the Bible of God's provision. But I want to read Matthew 6:31. It says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." I want to live in God's purpose. I want to live for that next. God, whatever you have for me next, that's what I want to strive for. That's what I want to pour my energy into. And God, I know that you will provide for my next. When I'm in that mission, when I'm facing that purpose, God, I know that you will provide. We talk about Isaac. We talk about Abraham, and we talk about the sacrifice. But something that I like to think about is that ram. Because while they walked up one side of the mountain, there was that ram coming up the other side. God provides. God provides. That was no accident. I saw a bishop, he was speaking, and he said, some people say that nothing happens on accident, that everything happens for a reason. He said, "I don't believe that. That's bad theology." I got to disagree with him, because I serve a God that knows it all. And I serve a God that doesn't make happy little accidents. It's all part of his plan. Even the things that scare us, God's got control. Even when situations are frightening, God still has control. Even when your next is daunting, God's got control. And I want you to remember that. If you're in that time of preparation and you're getting ready to step into that next, whatever that is, if it's a new season, if it's a new mission, if it's a purpose that you haven't worked to fulfill yet, if it's something to build the kingdom, whatever that next is, prepare yourself and know in faith that God is a provider, and that when you arrive at that next, he's going to provide. You just do the work. Amen? Amen. As we step into this next year, this next decade, I pray that each and every one of you is so richly blessed, and not just with things, but with the presence of God, with the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your family and your life. I pray that the Holy Spirit is just so, the presence of God is so thick in your life, is so sweet in your life. I want to see that, and I want to see this family grow and this family prosper, and I know it's going to happen, and I believe that it's going to happen, and God, we are ready for our next. And so if you will, this evening, as I close, let's stand together. I want to pray for you, family members. I want to pray for you, and I want to just pray about our next, whatever your next is. And that word, I'm throwing it around a lot, and it's kind of a catch-all. And that doesn't mean that people are going to start, like, moving away. Or, like, tomorrow somebody's going to wake up and be like, "I'm going to go, and you know, I'm going to be the first missionary to Antarctica. You know, I don't know, maybe that's what you're going to do. But listen, what I'm saying is that we want to be prepared for the next step in our walk with Jesus. Amen? We want to be prepared. And we know that God knows what he's doing. God, prepare us and provide for us. Jesus, I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit just surrounds us God protects us is evident in every part of our lives. Jesus, let your presence just be so obvious, God, in everything we do. Be with us. God, prepare us for our next, whatever our next is in this coming year and even in these coming days. God, be there with us. Provide for us. God, for my family that's here in this house, for their friends, for their coworkers, for their families, God, just pour out your presence, pour out your spirit on all your people. We believe in you. And God, not only do we believe in you, but we expect you. We ask and we pray these things in your name. Go with us as we leave this place. Keep us safe. And let us always worship you. Amen. Amen. Elevate family. I love you. I will see you next year. Is that an old joke? Can we use that still?